Hello, my name's John, and I'm still a sinner. You'd think after all this work on the 12 steps, nope, never done with this. But it's okay, because in this community, the worse my story, the warmer my welcome. And my Heavenly Father, who is my friend, is working with me on this, and we get to work on it together. We're looking at step 12. We're coming towards the end of our journey, but this is not the end today. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, when you work it. And I want to have a chance to tie it all together. But this is step 12. Having experienced a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, and I have, and you can, we sought to carry the message to others and to put these principles into practice in all our affairs. So we're message carriers. We are value adders. We are joy bringers. The word for the 12th step now is give. Give life, give truth, give faith. This is the invitation today. Our teacher on this, of course, as with all the 12 steps, ultimately is Jesus, who said in Luke chapter 6, "Give, and it will be given to you. Give, and it will be given to you." Now, we've already received, having experienced a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Then we seek to go to others. We seek to give. We seek to tell. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. When I hoard, keep, grab, hold, I wither and shrivel. And when I give. So, a couple of folks I want to tell you about. One is Adam Grant. He's written a book called Give and Take. Get to that in a minute. First, Christian Smith, good name for a Christian sociologist, and Hillary Davidson, The Paradox of Generosity. This is quite remarkable. This is part of what he writes in chapter one, what they write. It might seem obvious that generously giving money away involves a loss of the money itself, of course, and of the goods, experiences, or savings the money might have provided the giver. That's the old math. Seems evident. Donating one's limited time, energy, and attention to somebody else also represents a loss. Other people benefit, the people that I'm helping, but not me. In these and other ways, being a generous giver would appear to exact a net cost to the giving person. Generosity would seem to balance out to a relative deficit. The giver loses not only the forfeited resources directly transferred, but also the opportunity costs of other goods to which money, time, energy, attention, emotions might have devoted for themselves. So if I'm going to give to other people, that means I'm going to be a little bit poorer. It's a zero-sum game. No, 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 says Christian Smith. Not at all. The reality of generosity instead is actually paradoxical. Generosity does not usually work in simple zero-sum win-lose ways. The results of generosity are often instead unexpected, counterintuitive. Rather than generosity producing net losses, in general, the more generously people give of themselves, the more of many goods they receive in return. Sometimes they receive more of the same kind of the thing they give, money, time, attention, and so on. But more often and more importantly, generous people tend to receive back goods that are even more valuable than those that they give. Happiness, joy, what Aquinas called eternal goods, a sense of purpose, personal growth. This is so deeply true. This is quite remarkable. What's interesting in this book by Christian Smith is, if you're intrigued by this sort of thing, that he lays out a very clear empirical case, double-blind studies, peer-reviewed journals. Because generosity has all kinds of benefits for the person who gives, you become physically healthier, your attitude changes, you experience more joy, you connect more deeply with other people, so your networks become wider and broader, you bring more energy to your work, other people want to help you out. People who give end up better off financially than other people who would be in the same boat but don't give. It's the opposite. It is, in fact, exactly the way that Jesus taught about it. That's the invitation today, give. Not just because the world needs, the world does need, but I need to give. This is the 12th step in AA. It's what Bill W. realized. The only way to keep it is to give it away. Wonderful quote here from Wendell Berry at the end of the paradox of generosity. There are moments when the heart is generous, and then it knows, for better or worse, our lives are woven together here, one with another, and with the place, and with all living things. And you might think, with the beauty of words like that, that would be the end of thoughts for today. But no. I'm going to give you more because we're not nearly to the end yet. But I love those thoughts by Wendell. There are moments when the heart is generous and then it knows, for better or for sure. Now, another writer by the name of Adam Grant talks about three different styles when it comes to this issue. And you and I can think about how will I approach this day. He says, there are takers and there are givers and there are matchers. Takers, he writes, have a distinctive signature. They like to get more than they give. They tilt reciprocity in their own favor, putting their own interests ahead of others' needs. Takers believe the world is a competitive dog-eat-dog place. They feel that to succeed, they need to be better than others. To prove their competence, they self-promote, make sure they get plenty of credit for their efforts. There are people in certain industries that actually go to he writes in here about, it's called credit arbitration. Who wrote that? Who gets credit for that? Marriages can devolve into that credit arbitration. That's what takers are into. Garden variety takers are not cruel or cutthroat. They're just cautious and self-protective. If I don't look out for myself, nobody else will. And then there are givers. In the workplace, Adam writes, a relatively rare breed, they tilt reciprocity in the other direction, preferring to give more than they get. Whereas takers tend to be self-focused, evaluating, what can other people offer me? Ouch, ouch, ouch. I think about how often in my own life do I think that way. I have this goal. I want to have this. I want to be strategic. And so who can help me with this? Givers are other-focused. They pay more attention to what other people need from them. These preferences aren't about money. Givers and takers are not distinguished by how much they donate to charity or the compensation they command from their employers. Rather, givers and takers differ in their attitudes and actions toward other people. If you're a taker, you help others strategically when the benefits to you outweigh the personal costs. If you're a giver, you use a different cost-benefit analysis. You help whenever the benefits to others exceed the personal costs. And then he says the third type is a matcher. A matcher strives to keep the balance even. So I will help you if you will help me back in return. Biblically, you might think about the story of the prodigal son and the elder brother. In that story, the prodigal son, at least initially, until he hits bottom in the pig trough, the prodigal son is the taker. I want what's mine. Dad, give me my share of everything. Wish you were dead right now. I want to have it right now. The elder brother was a matcher. You know, I'm working for you hard, father, and then I expect that you give me something in return, tit for tat. The father is a giver, and he longs to give to his young boy, and when he comes back, he gives to him generously, and he longs to give to the elder brother, to the other boy also. He wants him to know the joy of being a giver. That's the point of that story. When you get to the end of it, well, this legalistic, hard-hearted, and of course, people who thought they were the religious leaders and looked at spiritual life as just kind of a match. Okay, God, I'm doing this for you. Will you do stuff for me? And Jesus says, no. Come on into my Father's house. Come on into the kingdom. This is step 12 time. Having experienced the spiritual awakening through these steps, we sought to carry the message to others. We sought to give. So that's the invitation for today. Adam talks about a person quite a lot in the book. Adam Rifkin, I think, is his name, who in the marketplace built extraordinary relationships with friends because he gave in remarkable ways. And one of his rules, the one that I thought I would leave for you, he called it the 5-minute favor. And the idea is this. If somebody needs help, if somebody asks for help, instead of sitting back and thinking, oh, I don't have very much, or I might lose this, or will they do something for me? If it takes 5 minutes or less, just say yes. Whoever it is, be willing to do a favor today for anybody who asks you if it takes 5 minutes or less. And then underneath that, the words of Jesus, they go with you and me today. Give, and it will be given to you. The most important kind of goods. Give, because freely you have received, so freely you give. This is step 12. We're given now. I'm given today, and I'm carrying the message of God. I'm talking with people about God. Do you know, when I talk with you about God in this moment, I don't know if it helps you. I hope it does, but I know it helps me. I know I need to do this. We are so wired with the need to give. This is another direct quote from Kristen Smith's book. Volunteers are less likely to die than non-volunteers. Now, of course, eventually we're all headed to the same boat. But from one day to the next, God made us to give because he made us in our image, in his image. And God so loves the world that he gave. He is a giving God. That's the 12th step. Keep coming back. It works when we work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you could pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.